Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Story.
I know.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Maybe a little later, we can get into the perfect air conditioning temperature per a study.
Okay.
You will probably have a problem with what they say is the perfect temperature to set your air conditioner to. But
Johnny D's going to be on in 20 minutes.
Yes, we're going to talk.
Allegedly, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I
feel good about it.
The last time
it was Friday.
Feel bad that we didn't have him on Friday, the day after the draft. So,
but that was like a night of getting after it.
They felt bad. They want to get him on, introduce him to the DC media and the fans.
Okay, all right.
So I saw this story yesterday, and I thought you'd get excited, EB. And
we've
been hearing this for a while, but man, the hype for Jahan Dotson, the Penn State receiver who the Commanders drafted in the first round, it continues. Pete Haley wrote this article, and it was about their receivers coach, Drew Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Terrell supposedly had a pre-draft Zoom meeting with Jahan Dotson, and he was looking for terrible reps. And he said he couldn't find any. He was looking for terrible reps to say, hey, this is what you need to do.
He didn't have Let's look at the tape.
Here's the quote from Terrell. He said, I was going back through his tape to try and find negative plays that I could press him on. And I was watching the tape, and I was like, nah, that's not a bad play. Nah, that's pretty good. So I didn't have that much negative to go off on.
Yeah. What do you want me to tell you?
He's going to be a superstar,
people. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. I just think he's just one of those kids. He's very much in the McLaurin mold. That's the vibe I get.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just like a dedicated kid.
Hard worker.
Runs precise routes, naturally talented. Great hands. I'm sure there are bigger, stronger, faster kids, but that he's just really good at what he does. He takes a lot of pride in it. You talk about how your boy loved him.
Trace McSorley loved him.
Did Trace actually get a chance to play with him, or just knew he was coming there?
No, he played with him. I think they overlapped by a year.
By a year.
Now, Haley did pump the brakes and points out Terrell Pryor's 2017 offseason, where he balled out in the summer. And then when the games began, he flamed out.
Well, you know what the difference is? This is not even close to a real comparison, an apples to apples comparison. You're talking about a guy just showing up, trying to learn a new position, no experience at it really, who flashed and made a play when the cameras were on.
It's not a project.
This is a guy who's been a stud his entire career at the position. He's a professional receiver, right? Who balled out in the Big Ten at Penn State. This is a guy who did it. How many years was he there? Was he there 4 years?
Four.
4 years.
I mean, he might have been there five, but he played four.
Played 4 years in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a guy who's just trying to learn a new position, who's a freak athlete, who made a catch when the media was there for 10 minutes. This is a guy who's got 4 years of tape. A guy who, as you mentioned, receivers coach for Washington, trying to go through the tape to find negative plays.
Can't do it.
And he can't even find them.
He can't find them loafing.
That doesn't mean he's a superstar. That just means this is a kid that works hard, does the right things, makes the right plays, makes the right decisions.
He says everything right, too. Here's his quote. Yeah. He said, I'm always looking forward to the next thing. He wrote this for the website, the Commander's website. He said, that's always been part of my character. I'm not too big on self-accomplishments. I'm always trying to be better. If I score a touchdown on one play, I'm trying to score three tomorrow. It's just how I'm wired. I'm super competitive, and it's weird because my dad is really outgoing, and he gets excited about this stuff, but I'm always looking ahead.
I'm telling you.
He's got nothing but rave reviews.
Yeah, and I believe it. And again, that doesn't mean he's going to be a star. That just means, which, in my opinion, what I've tried to say since the day they drafted him is he's got like a high floor, right? He's not going to bust. I think, in fact, didn't I declare him bust-proof?
You did.
I think it's in the book. There's a date. You can time check it and everything. So if he actually does bust, you can humiliate me. But I don't think he's going to be a bust. I'm not saying he's going to be a star. He is not going to be a bust.
Also, why did he catch more?
A long career.
Why didn't he catch more balls the first 3 years?
Well, they've never been because known for being a prolific passing offense.
Like I'm just
right?
looking
they had stud receivers.
Understandable too. As a freshman, he only had 13 catches. Okay, you're a freshman. Sophomore.
By the way, a freshman to get on the field in the Big Ten. It's big. It's big.
Sophomore, 27 catches. He did have 5 touchdowns. Junior year, 2020.
Well, that was COVID year.
Okay. He had 52 catches, 8 touchdowns, and then he blew up this year with a 91
to me,
and 12.
That sounds like the perfect trajectory for a college athlete. That sounds like the perfect trajectory. And again, he's not Terrell Pryor. He's not some training camp flash in the pan who has no tape or done nothing of any significance at any level.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a proven commodity who is an expert at his craft, and runs great routes, got incredible hands, hard. But what's there not to love?
The wide receiver coach.
And he was the number two receiver there until the COVID year.
Okay.
Because remember, they had K.J. Hamler. He was the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they had stud running backs. So they were just running. But so the COVID year, he was the true number one. And how many catches did he said he had?
I thought it was 52.
Okay,
and
so
how many games? Did they play a full schedule?
8 or 9. No, let me just go back and look at it.
All right.
So he probably would have had in the 70 to 80 range if it was a full schedule. And then he had, in a full schedule in 21, he had almost 100 catches.
Right.
So he was clearly the number one guy.
Dude, so I'm excited about the offense. I keep telling you guys this. Dotson's going to be fine. He's going to step in right away, probably catch 40 balls, minimum.
McLaurin
will catch his 70 to 75 balls. And if you get anything from Samuel, forget about it.
Samuel's really starting to feel like Steven Strasburg.
Did he have another thing while I was gone?
Well, he definitely sat out the last day or two of the latest mini camp.
Like last week or before that?
Before I left, too.
They said in an abundance of caution.
Right.
They sat him out for a
while. But then I think he sat out during mini camp. Let me check again, but he just, the Curtis Samuel news is just eerily reminiscent of Strasburg. He's working on a mound. He's doing a simulated game. It's just the same stuff all the time.
Yeah, I don't think you can rely on him.
Wish they just said that Dotson's our number two.
And then we just have to pray that De'Ami Brown can make a leap.
Yes.
Because they did have some expectations for him. Even though I personally given up on him, just kind of as shtick, you should still get something. What was De'Ami, a third-round pick? You should still get some production from De'Ami Brown. He's still a young, allegedly talented receiver.
Should get some. You should definitely get this year and year two.
You should get a lot more than what you got last year.
Year one, okay. Some guys just have down years.
Hey, he's a rookie, third-round pick.
But year two, yes. You should get something out of
it. Headline from Commander's minicamp a week ago. Curtis Samuel, reps managed at minicamp. I mean, it's just.
Never hear anything positive about him. It's frustrating for him.
Although, we did hear that he was running more at full speed after he worked out with his guys or whatever.
Rivera
said, I'm not going to make a judgment on Samuel in late June. I can't do that.
No.
You shouldn't do it either.
I made a judgment on him last year.
If it's late September.
I made a judgment on him last year.
That's true. But if it's late September and he hasn't played or he's only catching 2 balls, all right, then big whiff.
On paper, if he's healthy, I'm sorry. Those are I'm going to say they're great weapons. They're very good weapons. On paper. If Samuel's healthy, McLaurin's healthy, Dotson's healthy,
Gibby,
very good weapons.
And Gibby.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And everyone's raving about the rookie running back alongside
Brian
him, too.
Brian Robinson, yeah.
Yeah. And they got a bunch of tight ends in there that can contribute. Even if Thomas takes a few weeks to get going.
Look, I mean,
I don't know how strong the tight end depth is. I know they have guys.
They have guys that have, on paper, I think that could help you.
Well, it all comes down to Logan and his health.
Yeah. Logan is a key. But I actually like the rookie that they draft. I think eventually he's gonna be something. Eventually.
Well, it's about a month till they start.
Their offense is not going to be
training camp.
When we come in here and we grill this team after disappointing loss after disappointing loss, I don't think it's going to be the offense where we're pointing the finger, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be pointing the finger at not making stops, at not getting production from our high-priced front four and all that. That's where I think you're – and the back end not – you know, uh-huh. The linebackers being pooped.
So you think the offense is going to be really good?
No, but I think it's not going to be the issue. The offense is going to be...
Well, they're going to have some down weeks offensively.
Offense comes down to Carson. Offense is not going to be elite, but the offense is going to be...
A bit better.
Good.
It comes down to Carson Wentz.
It'll be middle of the pack offense. 15th in the NFL. Defense might be 25th, 26th. I think the defense is what's going to hold them back. But thank God they don't have a murderer's row schedule.
That's true. Schedule's much easier.
Defense?
I just got to think that the front four is going to be... I don't think the defense will be as bad as you think. I think they'll... Especially the front four.
I think the Chase...
Now, Chase is a big question mark.
Big question mark. He's not going to be there week one.
Right.
And he's going to be stumbling and bumbling. It's going to take him a while.
But those other guys have to step up.
We'll see.
Maybe you're going to have a reinvigorated Chase when he hits the field. He's working out with Von Miller. Maybe learn some better moves.
I mean, it would be great. What's the latest? What are they saying? They're refusing to give a timetable for Chase, aren't they? Are they still refusing to give a timetable? I know he's saying week one is his goal, but nobody's really giving a timetable.
Well, I don't think they really know, so I don't know why they would give
a timetable. But remember, he had his injury a month before Logan.
Logan's, correct.
And Logan, there appears to be more of a set timetable. Mm-hmm. Logan's been working out here. The team knows exactly what's going on. I'm not sure that same scenario is happening with Chase.
Well, and who knows?
He's doing his own thing out there.
And who knows why he chose to do that? If he truly questioned the medical care from the team and didn't feel comfortable doing that, I can't kill him. If he felt he's going to get a better surgeon,
they must have some cred if Von Miller's out there rehabbing with him.
That's what I mean.
What is Von Miller rehabbing, by the way? Or is he just training?
I have no idea. But I can't kill him for it.
Looks like Deron Payne tweeted it. It says, Chase in the lab with Von Miller.
That's good.
Doesn't have any braces on his knees.
He doesn't need a brace.
And he's...
Does he have any muscle tone?
He's looking buff. I mean, he looks buff. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Whatever. Looks a little like Ovi.
I knew that was coming.
He's a football player. Look, what do you want to have?
Hold on. Look at that shirtless picture. Then look at the shirtless picture of J.J. Watt.
To be honest with you, that's not the most ripped guy I've ever seen.
No. Did you see the picture of J.J. Watt?
Does he look terrible?
No.
No, I saw one that was over the weekend. Yeah. Some guy was working out.
Yeah. You saw it?
Yeah, I did see it. And Will Compton put his head on it. Is that the picture?
I didn't know if Will Compton did that.
He did a goof. But was it JJ?
Yeah, he was in the gym working out.
I saw it was a Watt. I didn't know if it was JJ.
I spent my weekend comparing shirtless pictures of defensive ends.
Yeah. Was that one at the top?
The JJ Watt one was very intriguing.
I thought JJ Watt was a little bigger than that guy. That's why I was a little surprised that was JJ. I didn't know if that was his brother or one of his brothers. Chase, to be honest with you, looks a little bloated to me.
Well, he's recovering from an ACL.
You were just hyping him up.
I'm just saying he's working out with Von Miller.
Yeah.
I just DM'd it to you.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure I've seen that pic. I just didn't know which Watt that was.
So he tweeted because his wife is pregnant that he's loading up on dad bod.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he looks spectacular. That's not exactly how Chase looks.
That's
the point, right?
Yes.
Chase damn near has man boobs in that pic.
Damn.
I mean, am I exaggerating?
If Chase Young's got man boobs, what am I working with?
Double D's.
Yeah.
We're all doomed.
Did you see the pic, though?
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah.
I mean,
them working out and them standing together, yeah.
I actually was looking at Chase's knee and his leg area to see, because you know when you have surgery like that and you're out, your muscles atrophy.
Of course.
So what I was looking at, it was to see, does it look like it has like that NFL size? Do the knees look comparable? The muscle area and whatever. I'm not convinced.
So he's definitely not going to be ready week one?
I don't know.
Who's saying that?
I would bet against it. I would bet against it.
Still got 2.5 months.
Dude, you'd be shocked. You guys have known, right? I don't know. JP's had a bunch of knee surgeries. He understands it. I've seen my son go it and other friends go through it. I've had shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a couple weeks of inactivity or whatever, the atrophy that occurs is stunning.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
But he's young enough and strong enough and he can bounce back from that quicker 100%, than most people.
100%.
Certainly quicker than a 50-year-old.
100%.
Yeah.
But it just, you don't understand. You're not starting at zero, you're starting at negative. Like, it's going to take a while. And he will do it faster than anybody because he is a freak athlete.
Right.
But it's just going to take a while.
The J.J. Watt picture is definitely more impressive. However, to be fair to Chase Young, his pictures are like candids. As he's walking around.
I know, he's not flexing.
And J.J. Watt is freaking exhaling to show every possible ab and every possible muscle and flexing.
I understand. Listen, Chase has all the God's gifts that you could possibly have.
I will say, Chase's bulge better than J.J. Watt's.
Oh, my God, you're grilling the bulge.
I mean, J.J. doesn't even look like he has a bulge.
I know.
You only got an innie or something. Like, what's going on?
Now that you mentioned it.
Now that you mention it.
Look, right?
How did I, JP, did you turn your thing around to show me the Chase pic?
Yes.
Yeah. Turn it around one more time. Yeah, he looks all right. I don't think the legs look super defined and huge.
I mean, he's just walking around. He's not flexing.
He's just a big dude.
He is a big dude. And I would not want to try to block him.
No.
Or bump into him at a bar.
And look, he's working out. Maybe this is the
he
beginning.
Looks better there.
This is the beginning of his cut 'em up season. He's going to cut 'em up.
Right. Hey, we need a big. All I know is we need a big season from Chase. If he can produce it, now's the time.
And look, he's working out with one of the best, right? So hopefully we can learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Be nice if you taught him a few moves instead of just running one direction.
That's why he's working with him.
All right, coming up next, scheduled to join us, the newest member of the Washington Wizards draft with the 10th pick in the draft just a few days ago, Johnny Davis, here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up at 8:45, we'll give you the latest quarterback news with QB quarter of. Believe Bishop was out with the next quarterback on Friday, turn punt returner.
He was a quarterback.
And B. Mitch will have to get the skinny from that as we are efforting Johnny Davis, who was drafted by the Wizards with the 10th pick in the draft. And Johnny joins us right now, of course, played college hoops at Wisconsin, grew up in Wisconsin, Wisconsin boy. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing really good right now. We're going through mini camp right now, so I'm just really excited to be able to learn some things.
What was the week leading up to the draft, and what was the draft experience like for you with the Wizards select? You'd worked out for the Wizards; they pick you with the 10th pick. What was it like?
Leading up to the draft, I started to build up more and more each day as it got closer. And then when my name was called and I knew I was coming to D.C., it was probably the happiest moment of my life.
That's pretty incredible. How many different teams did you work out for?
I think maybe five or six.
Five or six. And did you get a sense that you were high on the Wizards board? Like if they were still there at 10, that there was a good chance? Or did they keep it pretty to themselves?
Nah, I kind of figured that I wouldn't drop past 10. I think, being here in D.C. was probably the best fit for me.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about kind of going forward, Johnny. You're going to be playing with Bradley Beal, assuming he signs that max extension, $250 million, by the way. It's crazy. Hmm. And then you're going to be playing with Kristaps Porzingis. How much NBA do you like to watch as a college player? How much have you seen these guys play?
I've seen Bradley Beal play a lot. I feel like that's somebody I can try to resemble my game after. And, of course, Kristaps, I feel like, he has the potential to be one of the top centers in the league. So to be on a team like this, I think, this next season is going to be really exciting.
Mm-hmm. You know what's impressive about your numbers from last year was I believe you finished fifth in the Big Ten in rebounding.
Yeah, you could tell he's a
tough
kid.
You were about 8.5 rebounds a game. I could be wrong on that, but I know you were in the top five in rebounding. That's impressive, especially for a big physical conference like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just instincts, knowing where the ball is shot from, how it hits the rim, and where it's going to go. Also, my teammates did a really good job of, clearing stuff out and boxing guys out for me. So I just used my athleticism to go get the ball.
So, Johnny, growing up in Wisconsin, your dad played in the NBA a little bit. Were you a Packers fan, a Bucks fan? What'd you grow up liking?
I didn't really like any NBA team specifically. Kind of just like watching Kevin Durant. That was sort of my favorite player.
So you're a KD guy.
And then
what about on the football side?
This is a funny story. I'm a Giants fan, but after they beat the Patriots a while back, I didn't really have a team, but I had relatives throughout my family that were Giants fans. And after that game, I seen them all cheering, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to hop on the bandwagon. I've been with them ever since.
Nice. So how good of a football player were you? So you played quarterback, and I got to say, a couple of us that were doing the show, I don't know if you know this, the little vignette that they showed on ESPN or maybe it was ABC – when you were selected, you were talking about playing high school football, and you kind of threw your line under the bus. Like, you were like, I ran around a lot because my line wasn't very good.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to really knock on those.
I mean, aren't
guys,
they your boys?
You know, yeah, I mean, somewhat, but you know, we weren't really a football school. But you know, I just got to be honest. I mean, you know, I did have to do a lot of running.
Did you have a good arm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get recruited to play college football?
I got recruited by a few schools, but I knew I wasn't going to play college football.
When right. did you know that you were an NBA talent? Like, a lot of kids think, oh, I'm going to go to the league or whatever. But when did you know, like, you know what? This is actually going to happen. I don't know. Maybe you play pickup with guys in the summer and you could kind of evaluate your skill set with them, that kind of thing. When did you know?
I mean, I kind of knew, like, probably halfway throughout the season that, you know, I was going to be one of the top picks in the draft, but I didn't really, you know, worry about it too much till after the season. But then after the season was when I really knew it was like, okay, this is.
But
this
how did
really
you know? Were guys
happen.
Telling you? Or, like, you know, were people hitting you?
I mean, he's Big Ten Player of the Year.
I know, but when, like, there's a part when you just know, like you're playing with the guys in the summers or whatever, and you're like, you know what? I could just hang with these guys, no problem. You know what I mean?
I mean, I didn't really play with any NBA guys this past summer, but after the season, you know, I mean, I would see the mock draft stuff on Instagram and Twitter, but
is that what
I wouldn't
it
pay
is?
Too much attention to it. I would just scroll by and, you know, see it like, oh, wow, at one point I was a top five pick.
Yeah.
But after the season, my dad, he knew a lot more about it than I did, and he told me I wasn't going to be going back to school.
Right.
And then Coach Gard, Greg Gard, your coach, he probably was telling you, all right, their scouts are asking about you, teams are asking about you, right? That had to have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would see scouts in and out of practice.
Right.
How big, when we had Tommy Shepard on, who's the GM of the Wizards, he talked about you having a twin brother and, like, I think they really like the aspect that you're a battler, a dog, if you'd say. Like, what? Tell me the value of having a twin brother and playing against him all the time and battling with him to where you are today.
It's great. You know, you got a best friend basically your whole entire life, and especially when we were younger, we would always just do anything we can to compete against each other, whether it was basketball, football, baseball, card games, video games. So I feel like having a twin brother helps you build that competitive side of you.
Did you guys get in any epic fights, even if it was when you were like 8 or 9 years old? Did you have rules at fights? Like, I had a younger brother, but we never really hit each other in the face. Like, we'd get in fights. Did you guys get in any good fights?
Yeah, I mean, there was no rules. It was just all out, just try to beat the hell out of each other.
Did either of you, though, ever hit each other in the face?
Yeah, there was probably some times where that would happen.
Couple
but,
times.
I mean, usually we would try to stay away from that because we knew our parents would be mad at us.
Right.
So you're working with the guys now. What have you noticed right away?
About minicamp?
Yeah. Talent level and that sort of thing.
Speed of the game.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, you guys are really talented. You know, they wouldn't be here if they weren't. But also, just the way that guys compete. You know, they're coming out here, they're competing to the best of their ability and just trying to make themselves better and everybody else around them.
All right, give me a couple things where you really think you need to improve heading into the NBA season, your first NBA season, rookie year, and then talk about how different is the NBA game right now from what you've seen in minicamp than the Big Ten?
Yeah, I would definitely say becoming more of a consistent shooter and more of a playmaker are two aspects I could really improve on.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I would say the difference is from NBA to college is that guys are a lot faster and stronger. You know, it's just a whole nother level.
Right.
Have you thought about where you're going to live? Like the lifestyle here in D.C.?
No, not yet. But I've been around the city a little bit, and I really think it's a beautiful city.
Did any of the guys reach out to you on draft? I assume they did. Did, like, Brad text you or whatever right after your draft?
Yeah, Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, Corey Kispert, Rui, Denny.
What's
yeah,
that like?
I think it was just those guys.
That's unbelievable, pretty, right?
Yeah, it's crazy to text those guys because I've been watching them on TV for a while.
Right. And then are any of those guys with you in the minicamp, or is it all younger guys?
No, it's all just younger guys.
Right, right. Your mind's going to be blown when you're actually passing to Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit. And then you're shooting, you're warming up with Brad. That's got to be just like a pinch me experience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you envision yourself as a starter from day one?
Yes, I mean, that's a goal of mine. But, you know, if I'm not a starter, it's not going to, you know, impact how I feel about the game or about the team. It's just whatever the coach thinks is the best decision for the team. And then if I see the court at all, I'm just going to go in and play whatever role I need to the best of my ability.
Right. What have they said their expectations? Like, what are they looking for from you in year one? Have they given you any sort of outline?
No, not really. I think, you know, they might play me at point guard, which is something I didn't do in college, but I think, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I think I'd be comfortable with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, can I just bring you back to, I know you've been asked about this before. Sorry to ask you, Johnny. First time we've interviewed you. Just bring us back to the Michigan game. I'm not sure if that was February or March when Juwan slapped your assistant. What was your reaction to that, and where were you in that whole scrum? I'm kind of watching a video right now. I can't see where you are, but I see right now you're getting pulled away by some of your teammates. How pissed off were you?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit more confused and pissed off. You know, I was at the back of the line, and then, you know, we're walking through, and then all of a sudden it just stops, and everybody at the back of the line is, like, walking around to see what's happening. And all of a sudden we see pushing and shoving, and I get up to, you know, the middle of the scrum, and I see one of my assistant coaches just, like, on the ground getting walked over by people. So I go in there to try to help him up, but my teammates think I'm going to go in there and start, like, throwing punches or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm trying to stop this.
Right.
And they knew, like, they were pulling me away because they're like, well, you're, like, one of the important players on the team, so you can't be getting caught up in this and get suspended at all because we obviously had a lot more season left. So, I mean, I was a little bit more confused and angry. I mean, you know, Juwan Howard did what he did. You know, he got suspended. He paid his dues, but it was definitely a really crazy moment.
What did Coach Guard say, or your assistant coach who got slapped, what did they say to you guys in the locker room after that game?
They just said, you know, don't worry about it too much. We got to focus on the fact that we won and know that we got a lot of season left. But, I mean, you know, we knew that it was going to be a hot topic for a while, so they told us to just make sure not to go around, you know, disrespecting Michigan or discrediting them because of the incident.
I can't remember. Did you guys play them again in the Big Ten tournament? I can't remember.
No, we didn't.
So that was the last time you played them. Okay.
Hey, Johnny, I wanted to ask you your fashion choice for the NBA draft. Describe your fit, and what did you think about some of the other guys?
Yeah, so my fit was supposed to be red, which is, you know, Wisconsin themed because not a lot of guys make it out of the University of Wisconsin. I mean, the only two I can think of in the past few years was Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky. But so yeah, that was what I was going with. Then I think this is probably one of the best dressed draft classes in a while that I've seen.
What did he wear? I was on vacation.
It's kind of a reddish suit. What's the letter on there? What does that stand for?
It was a J. It just stands for my name.
Oh, got okay. You.
What do you think it stood for, JP?
No, he's
a
like
jumper.
A G. I didn't know. I'm so terrible with cursing. I thought it might be a G.
It was a J.
Hey, you look good in it. I couldn't pull it off, but you look good in it.
Yeah, you did. Hey, well, welcome to D.C., my friend. Congratulations.
Stay healthy.
Yeah. Can't wait to see you on the court playing for real.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
All right, bro. Man. Take care, buddy.
Johnny D.
You didn't get to hear the Shepherd interview and some of the things that he said, but I think they really, I know EB's talked about this forever, they really wanted somebody that can play some defense, and they like his toughness.
Hey, looks
they like his toughness, like not just on the court, but like I said, Shepherd talked about him growing up as a twin and being kind of like a competitive family, played football. I think that actually stood out to them, like the football background, the twins, toughness, the rebounding,
his dad
the defense.
The for a few years?
Just a cup of coffee.
Sure. Uh-huh. But like you said, he's tough. He's a tough kid. He's got a really good mid-range game. He's not a guy who's going to stretch the defense because he's not a consistent deep three-point shooter, but he's going to have to improve on that.
Yep.
But he can.
He can.
And so many guys do.
But he's just tough. He's a good defensive player. He'll get some boards. Who knows if he'll start, you know, in the first game of the season, but he'll play a lot, and maybe he will start. See what kind of summer he has.
My guess would be unlikely that he starts.
Probably.
I mean, they might throw him to the wolves if they don't go out and pick up a point guard, and Shepherd said they need to pick up a point guard. They roll out with, like, Bradley Beal bringing the ball up the court and Davis bringing the ball up the court sometimes. As long as you're not getting pressed, you're okay. Just set up
the
offense.
They don't press in the NBA. You don't really need a...
You don't need all that old school point guard.
Then Kristaps comes up high. They run the high pick and roll and the screens, and that's what they do.
He'll get some big minutes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the pick.
We did spend a lot of time last week talking about them making a big move and shaking it up. Looks like they're just bringing guys back, right?
Well, I mean,
what it seems like right now.
Still time. Back,
but as you said, they've been making moves for the last 2 years.
Coming up next, we'll give you the latest quarterback news with QB Quarter Of here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And we'll start with Deshaun Watson. More and more reports that the NFL is going to bring the hammer to Deshaun Watson. They're saying huge suspension looming. You can interpret that as you may. Maybe it'll only be 8 games. I'm thinking they're going to hand down a year-long suspension or more. He did settle 20 lawsuits.
By the way, I think that settling with 20 of them shows me that 20 of those women are willing to take money. Like, if you were I would probably settle. If you offer me life-changing money, I have no idea what the settlement is. I would probably settle.
Yeah.
But I also know some people definitely wouldn't settle because it's about the principle.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you do have 4 or 5 that haven't.
According to reports, the league believes it has damning evidence against Watson stemming from the 24 civil lawsuits and the other accusers. The NFL is specifically focused on 5 cases that it feels have particularly strong evidence. The league wants to hand down essentially the stiffest possible ban and wish to make it indefinite in case further revelations surface. However, the baseline of 1 year is the minimum the league is reportedly prepared to accept.
Minimum? So it could be longer than a year?
Well, they're saying indefinite.
Wow.
Who knows?
Watson and the NFL apparently have been in talks over discipline settlement, but those talks fell apart over the length of a suspension. if the league won't take less than 1 year suspension, those discussions probably do not get far. So
now,
who knows?
Goodell is not the be-all, end-all that he once was, right? Aren't there like, isn't there like a committee that's involved now? I don't know if there's an independent arbitrator, if he's the arbitrator. I think things have changed.
You might be right, yeah.
Since when he was the one be-all, end-all.
They do say a resolution, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, is expected in the coming days. So this may all be coming to a head here soon. The people familiar with the case anticipate an outcome the week of July 4th. So we're almost there. Well, we've been talking about this for over a year.
And again, this is a guaranteed $230 million 5-year deal. It's the biggest contract for guaranteed money in the league.
Now, yeah. I guess
stunning.
I guess
stunning. And obviously, Cleveland, you know, they did their own investigations, and I'm sure they talked to Deshaun, and he probably told them this and that. Maybe he told them what they really wanted to hear. And they decided to give him this huge deal. He got $45 million at sign for the signing bonus. And then his salary starting in 23 are going to be $46 million per year for 4 years. All guaranteed.
In my mind.
And he may not play until 2023.
In my mind, if he doesn't play this year, Cleveland completely botched it because they pissed off Baker. Baker doesn't want to play for him. Mm-hmm. They won't get Deshaun. And then they're stuck with Jacoby Brissett. And they have a talented team. Like, they're expected to be a contender if they have Deshaun Watson. Now, maybe they end up getting Deshaun in year two and they take off.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe
they look at it.
If it's a 1 year and they get him long term.
If they get him from 23 to 27.
But the question is. Yeah,
but you have a window. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And you all of a sudden lost a year on that.
No, it's not window. Great. It ain't great.
No, it's definitely not great. And I question, like, remember when Vic was out? And Vic, you know, what did he serve, like 2 years? I mean, Zick served some time and was out mm-hmm. for quite a while. He came back in and had like kind of a revitalization there, but he was never like
he wasn't
silly.
The young Vic.
When you lose,
he was still
two
good
years.
Yeah.
He's still good, but you know, it didn't have some tremendous run right. after that.
And I'm telling you, Watson's the only one of all the training camp reports that I read. Most of them were glowing, except there was one or two about Watson not looking that good in Cleveland. You're right, EB, though. It is the first case under the NFL's new collectively bargained personal conduct policy, which places the initial ruling in the hands of a neutral arbitrator. In this case, it's a former district court judge, Sue Robinson,
right,
who was picked mutually by the league and the players' union. So it's in her hands.
Now, when they do this,
says
hearing,
if she determines Watson violated the personal conduct policy and suspends him, either side can appeal the length of the suspension to Roger Goodell or somebody that he designates if he wants to keep punting.
Now, obviously, Deshaun Watson has the players' union behind him. So if the union, if the union goes to Robinson and says, look, if you're going to suspend him for a year, it's got to be similar to what the NFL penalized owners for. And if she says, okay, that's fine, let's see what they did. Let's see what the NFL found in terms of their conduct, and they have to release that conduct, that could be interesting because that's what the NFL does not want. So maybe they settle before that hearing, which starts mm-hmm. tomorrow. Maybe you hear something later today. If not, and they go forward with the hearing, that could get really interesting.
Well, looks like a decision is looming here in the next couple of days or a couple of weeks. Warren Sapp, EB, has been helping out the Washington Commanders.
Well, he was just there for like a weekend, I think.
Understood. But he was in the news this weekend ripping Colin Kaepernick's workout. So Kaepernick had his first formal visit with an NFL team in roughly 5 years when he worked out for the Raiders last month. And Warren Sapp said he heard that it was one of the worst workouts ever.
Saw these comments and thought it was interesting, and I read them. And I do think it is telling that, A, he had the workout, and then nothing happened. And then, B, not as far as I know, no other teams have called.
Sapp said, I'm wondering how the hell that happened, and the tape didn't get out. Somebody wasn't recording a video over the fence or something? Come on, man. We live in a world where you put up a drone, and nobody's going to stop you. Kaepernick's agent has disputed this and basically said Sapp is trying to get back in the media where he worked before having problems. Mm. And he said that the Raiders actually said that it was a great workout, and if any team called them, they would say the same to those teams.
Right. Well, then why have no teams called him then if it was a great workout? I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of baggage with Colin Kaepernick.
There's also a lot of baggage with Warren Sapp.
Correct.
But I might believe, I tend to believe Sapp heard that. He's not making it up. That Sapp's not just trying to get into the news. I'm sure Sapp would love to get back into TV or whatever. But I tend to believe there's some truth to that. That it wasn't an unbelievable workout. Could it be an unbelievable workout? Guy hasn't been in an NFL camp in 5 years.
With 49ers quarterbacks, of course, Cap played with the Niners. Jimmy G still with the Niners. They have not traded him. And they've been open about the way his shoulder injury impacted their plans. Now, apparently, Jimmy G is getting close to making a return. And the reports are kind of the same. Sounds like it could be dealt in the near future. Garoppolo expected to begin throwing at some point in early July, according to Mike Garoppolo, NFL Network. The 30-year-old QB is hoping for a quick resolution once he is fully cleared and able to participate.
Is there any chance Jimmy G could end up in Cleveland and they had Baker, Deshaun, and Jimmy G? Is that possible?
No, because you would have too much money. Because you would
have Seattle Misfits.
Yeah.
No, because you would have to trade for Jimmy G, and the Browns traded all their picks away to get Deshaun, so they don't really have any ammo to trade for Jimmy G.
They should trade Baker, but they don't want Baker.
Who?
San Francisco.
All the other teams that want these quarterbacks, potentially, they all want them on a major discount. They don't want to flip the entire bill. So teams that are interested in Baker, they either want him cut and they just pick him up and renegotiate a deal or whatever, or they want Cleveland to chip in, you know, $5 or $10 million per season. And teams probably want Jimmy G on a discount, too.
I can't believe what Cleveland gave Deshaun. It is stunning. Desperate twin, bro.
Do you think that Cleveland kind of knew in the back of their mind that he was going to get a year suspension?
No.
And they had to know that he was going to get something, though.
I'm sure they knew something.
But maybe not a year. Okay.
Well, I don't know. We don't know for sure it's a year. I mean, that's
the
rumor.
We don't.
But, and it could be worse.
But maybe they just said, F it.
I don't know. That's a big effort.
Even if he's out for 22, I mean, we'll have him for 23.
$240 million.
We'll have him for 4 seasons.
The
worst part is he's not even going to play. But also, the Browns just bonged every other organization who has to negotiate with the quarterback.
Because now they got guaranteed money and all that. I mean,
they just upset the apple cart for every single organization that's going to have to do this in the future.
Yeah, well,
the guy's got like worse than Pete Rose morality and had played in 2 years. And they give him all that money, guaranteed.
But if he gets on the field and starts balling out, Cleveland's
going to
love him.
Ultimately, that's all that matters.
It really is.
Well, but look, we talked about Vic, and he was pretty good when he came back. What if Deshaun really takes a step back after being out for 2 years?
I think it's a possibility. He's going to be rusty.
Right.
All right, coming up next.
By the way, Rusty is his lawyer, I think.
Another organization which may have mangled their situation is the Brooklyn Nets. Apparently, KD's not really talking to management now. Kyrie may want to bounce. We'll talk to their play-by-play voice, Chris Carino, next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.